Season's greetings. It is my favourite season of the year. I love a bit of autumn. Do you think, like, I mean, is it too soon to call it autumn yet, Anna? I'm like, summer's over. I'm in with autumn.
I am holding on to the last ray of sunshine. Summer is here till mid-November. I am not letting it go. I hate autumn. We're so different, aren't we, Claire? I'm like, sun worshipper, get rid of the rain. You're like, give me big jumpers and scarves. I'm like, let me get naked in my bikini.
Well, so regardless different. Of that, Anna also likes New Year, but this for me is my New Year, my favourite season. There's something about associating with like the start of the school year that makes me kind of think, right, New Year, I get a new school diary, a new notepad, a new journal, a new set of pens, and I'm ready to go. And we're kind of bringing that theme in, aren't we? Anna's just going to pretend that it's January, which basically is her favourite time of the year because it's her birthday.
Of course. Right. But you know what? I love that like freshness. I know what you mean, like a new pencil case. And I love that vibe in group and the members online when it's like, right, we've had our fun this summer. We're getting our head down. Festivities are fast approaching. There is something about the buzz. I love it when you see all the grandparents, the mums, the aunts, the uncles, when the kids have gone back to school, they're just like, we made it through. So it's a good time of year to kind of start afresh, isn't it?
Right. So whether you've got kids, you haven't got kids, whether you used to have like children, they've grown up and now you're thinking, I really should do this weight loss thing. Bit more of my time and my energy. Let's do it today. We've got an amazing guest. We have Slimming World's current greatest loser, Harriet Peacock. She's now also turned into a consultant. I mean, like it's an amazing story, but she's going to help us kind of really dig into this topic about a clean slate. So much to get on. Get your journal, get your pen, get a big cup of tea because you might need it. Maybe get some tissues as well. And let's hand over to the inbox to whoever's going to kick off this podcast today.
You have one new message.
Hi, my name is Mari. I attend Saturday morning group with Tristan in Bangor, North Wales. Cue the ukuleles.
Wow, I thought that Mari was never going to get to the point where that the ukuleles were cued. I mean, I love the energy that Mari brought to that introduction.
I mean, I love that we're representing North Wales as well. I feel like we're doing a globe trot, aren't we?
Yeah, I actually lived and worked in Bangor for 2 months a few years ago. Yeah, for work. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was the wrong time of year, though, because it was winter where you couldn't see any of the tops of Snowdonia and the rain was horizontal. But I still had a great time. So big up Bangor.
Big up Bangor. That's a strap line if ever I've heard one.
Get me on the marketing team for Bangor. Yeah. I'll sort them out. So welcome to the podcast. I'm Claire. I am a mere member, as I say. Anna is the professional out of us. Anna is the consultant of 10 plus years.
It's coming up to 12. Do you like to put the pressure on that I'm the professional? So if I come out with something wrong, it's my fault. So yeah, just I try to be professional. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. But yes, we met together, didn't we, in my group, and the rest is history.
And here we are 3 or 4 years later. It all blurs, really. I can't remember how many years. But anyway, find us on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. You can see all kinds of tips of nonsense, of little kind of bites of previous podcasts and all kinds of things like that. Come and have the fun. We're delighted to welcome a brilliant guest today, Harriet Peacock. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thank you. I'm really excited about being on the podcast and sharing some tips and some of my own journey, really.
Yeah, and we've got to say Harriet is representing here. It is a Monday morning as we are recording this. Harriet has some absolutely banging lipstick. It is amazing.
I'm lunging towards my makeup drawer to see if I can reach, but my arm is not long enough. So you're going to represent the glamour this morning.
Oh, a bit of red lipstick always makes you feel fantastic, I say.
Okay, right. Well, this idea about like kind of a start, you know, like starting from the very beginning, like we've talked before about remembering the kind of pivot point, I suppose, of when we thought, no, we've got to do something about this. I know, you know, you kind of admit to yourself, you've kind of been like knowing that you need to do something, but maybe not really kind of like engaging in it. What was your kind of moment, Harriet, where you thought, no, I'm drawing the line. This is time for me to start something different.
Well, I think, I mean, I was in York living by myself at that point. And I was at home and I was just eating, to be honest. I was binge comfort eating. And it got to the point where I was physically unable to move, to be honest. Wow. And my family was so concerned about me. They were saying, are you eating healthily? And I was sitting there going, oh, yeah, yeah, of course I am, as I was stuffing the sweets into the cupboard. And eventually they intervened and actually brought me back home to Bedford. And they said, it's over to you now. You've got to do this for yourself. And they put everything in place for me. They smoothed the road for me. But really, it was down to me, because you have to do this journey for yourself. And it was eventually, they were there with me every step of the way. But it was walking through those doors for the first time took so much courage. I was suffering with anxiety and depression. And my poor 80-year-old mother waiting in her little P-Reg Fiesta in the cold at the end of September with a little blanket and a book in case I had a panic attack. But it was walking into group that first time that really went, I'm home. This is what I've got to do. And this is how I'm going to do it.
In your story, you talk about like just how bad things were. Like you couldn't walk more than 50 meters. I mean, yeah, what... Just tell us a little bit more about that, because it is really sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it was hugely, hugely difficult, because it's a physical pain when you weigh that much. It is your joints just hurt all of the time. And my feet used to swell up and I couldn't reach my feet to put cream on like the cracked skin. And just not being able to move makes you emotionally reclusive as well. So it becomes not just a physical problem, but also a problem within your own mind, within your own mindset, that you then have to put so many strategies in place, not just to overcome the physical barriers, but also the mental barriers that then come with it. So it was a real, I became quite inventive actually about how I could move myself around and physically get myself dressed. Because there were, as I said, I couldn't reach my feet. So how can I put a pair of socks on? How can I get from A to B? And that did cause a huge amount of problems for me, because I couldn't walk. And I got quite frightened of being by myself, because there was a point where I literally wouldn't be able to support myself. And my body would give way, like my knees would literally give way, and I would have to stop and I would have to rest. I'd have to sit on something or find something to lean on. So it was a massive, massive hurdle for me, and just painful in every aspect of that emotion.
It sounds like you've been through so much to get to the point you are now. Did your weight gain creep up on you? Was it something like, because I meet a lot of people who say, I don't actually know how I got to this point. It's happened so gradually. Or was there an event that took you to this kind of place?
I think it was a mixture of both. I have always been overweight. I am currently the thinnest I've ever been. I now weigh probably what I weighed when I was 10 years old. And you know, my age used to be my weight. So when I was 14, I was 14 stone. So I've always struggled with weight my entire life. I was made aware of it when I was 7. I was pulled out of class by the headmistress, who said to me, do you just eat too many sweets? Is that why you're so fat? I mean, that's 80s brutal schooling for you. And so from age 7, I was really aware of being made to feel different and outside of the normal. And it really, my weight crept up on me. I had a couple of times when I lost a little bit, but it always kept going back on and on and on and on. And it was really, unfortunately, I was made redundant from my job in a girls' school, and I found myself at home. And when you're at home by yourself, there's nobody to be accountable to, because you don't love yourself anymore. You actually loathe and despise yourself for what you're becoming. So then it's that vicious circle of, I hate myself, so now I'm just going to eat more. And there was nothing or nobody to stop me. And I used to order takeaways. My the driver would come and I would shout through to the non-existent person in the lounge, oh, the pizza's finally here. Oh, and say to the chap, oh, they'll be pleased that this has arrived because I'd ordered so much. And so I knew what I was doing, but you're also in that phase of denial. It took me a long time to look back at photos of like my sort of before photos because I couldn't bear to see it. And when I was in that place, I couldn't actually see how bad it was. I was in total and utter denial.
I mean, you have gone on to lose 20 stone. What do you see now when you look at those before pictures?
Oh, it breaks my heart. And this, you know, this is where I get a little bit emotional because I almost see a completely different person. And I look back at that person and just say, oh, my goodness. And as I was saying, it's the pain that I look back and go, oh, gosh, it's the physical pain. It's the pain of trying to get comfortable just to go to sleep at night. It's the pain of, can I leave my home? Am I going to physically going to be able to walk? Am I emotionally going to be able to do it? And I just want to give her a great big hug and say, look, it's okay. There is hope. Because when you're in that state, you're going, there's no hope. There's just nothing to look forward to. And it's, yeah, I just want to give her a massive hug and say, it's okay. There is something you can do about this. Yeah.
And that's why you're becoming you are a consultant, you know,
yeah.
Because now you take that feeling, don't you? And you offer that to other people. I mean, let's go. The topic of this obviously is clean slate. And there may be people listening to what you're saying and really nodding their heads and the tears are coming down their faces too. And they're feeling everything you're saying. I suppose the magic thing that everyone wants to know is, where do I start? You know, so maybe that's something that we can kind of all between the three of us pick up and take. I mean, what do you kind of say, Harriet, having been in your own shoes, but now I suppose also with like your consultant hat on?
I think it's making that first decision to just go for it and committing yourself to go for it. And it's you really do have to steel yourself for it. And whether that's you're going through the first time of becoming a member of Slimming World, or whether even you've been away for a little while and rejoining, it does take a huge amount of courage. And you've got to have that kind of self-belief in yourself, like, I can do this. I can go into this room or join online or whichever way you choose to do it and say, I've made this decision and I'm making this decision for myself. And it's always about a positive decision that's going to help your life. It's never about willpower. It's never about if I can just get through the next 30 seconds. It's about thinking of it in terms of positive decisions. It's a series of positive decisions that are only going to have a great impact on you.
Love that. Stealing that, Harriet. That's okay. Do you know, I think you say something though, that's it's that first step of starting. And I think where a lot of people, and I was this person, you know, I sat in the car park of Six Creeps. It was overthinking ahead of myself. Actually, let's think about the first step. First step is just to get into group or just to sign up online. Don't think about the 10, 8, 9, 10, 11 stone you want to lose. Just get through the door, because in a lot of things in life, and we've talked about this before, the thinking is far more scary than the reality, and the thinking puts you off, doesn't it? And you almost waste the time. So just taking that leap of faith. And I think also knowing, I wish I'd really thought about the reception I was going to get better than I kind of had in my head. Because I had this reception of walking into a slimming group, being like those caricatures of programs. And I was so terrified about what I was going to get. So I just want to reassure anyone that's listening and thinking, I can't go into a group. You know, you will meet totally insane people like me, but you won't ever get judged. You won't ever get shouted at, be treated in a bad way. You will only ever get support. And I met a lady the other day who said, I'm not about the talking. And I said, you don't have to talk, just listen. So please know if your head is going, I can't do it, I can't do it, just take a step in the door. You don't have to join. Know that there is a try before you buy. So you can sit through the whole process and then go, actually, that nut is not for me. I'm not having it. But again, it's taking that another level of pressure off, because I think when we start a weight loss journey, we go in with so much pressure, hope and expectation that it can stop us from starting.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, isn't it? As a member listening to this too, as someone who's been going to groups for a long time, because I think it can sometimes be quite easy to forget where we come from. And you describing your start there, Harriet, really reminds me, because sometimes I'm in that bit where I'm kind of in the squabble, you know, over the last few pounds, getting in Target, bumping up and down at Target, and I'm agonizing over these 1 or 2 pounds, but you forget what it's like to come through. And there's almost, I sometimes feel like a duty as a member, really, to look out for fellow members in my group. And you know, a consultant can't be there to do everything and see everything in the group. But I think it's also our duty, if we see someone struggling, to say, can I make you a cup of tea? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Or how are you getting on this week?
Smile.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there that is about the power of like making this be a community. And I think in your success video, Harry, you talked about something to do with the aspect of kind of like working through your mind as much as like the food plan with Slimming World. And there's a big part about like the support aspect, which comes from the community and us as people, really, I think.
No, definitely. And I think it's all about when I walked, because I felt so much shame before I walked into that group about myself. And I had been publicly fat shamed by total strangers. So I had no confidence at all. And the other thing that you can do is, my sister phoned the consultant before I actually joined the group and talked through a lot of issues. So I knew who I was going to as well. And you walk in that room and you join, and it's just like that feeling of coming home, that feeling of being totally accepted. And it's just one of those tiny little stages on that journey of self-discovery, of changing all of your I can't do this into all of your I can do this. And it's that step at a time, each time. And for me, mindset was absolutely key, absolutely key. And I've developed all kind of, I'm like a magpie. I pull strategies from absolutely everywhere and have no shame about it, whether it's visualization or music. I've listened to the same song before. So I still got anxious about getting on those scales. Oh, yeah. I still, after all this time and the weight loss, I still get anxious about it. And I listen to the same song as I walk to group. And I have listened to that same song for nearly 3 years now before I get to groups. It just pumps me up that little bit.
What is it? I want to know.
Oh, don't judge. It's actually from RuPaul's Glamazon album, and it's called The Beginning. So, yeah, it's just a fantastic song. It's just so full of positivity and so upbeat. I've got a whole Slimming World playlist that I use for like different scenarios or different times when I need it. So,
my God, I love that. I've never heard of that before, but I feel like we need to know if other people have got, like, get them in the zone for way songs. Have you got one, Claire?
We need one for you, Anna, which is the chopping the vegetables one. Because Anna loves to chop vegetables.
I've got lots of songs that it's really weird you say it. When I'm setting up group that I listen to, and it's the cheesiest song and it reminds me of uni, Reach for the Stars from S Club 7. I like to blast that while I'm putting the tablecloths out. I don't know why, it's the cheesiest song in the world, but it gets me in the zone for my members. So we used to dance to that for 20p vodkas at uni. So do you know what? It's got a really good something in my mind. Claire, have you got a psych me up song when you're going into group?
No, I have never thought about that.
Neither did I, really, about getting weighed. But it's so true, because I still get the fear 22 years later. I'm like, I don't want to do it. But actually, if you go in with that mindset, do you know, just thinking about something that someone said to me when they were really fearful about walking in, I've got my picture on my group details and a picture of our room. And this lovely lady said to me, knowing what you looked like and the room I was walking into took a level of pressure off, because I knew who I was aiming for, but I also knew where I could walk, what the seats looked like. Like, my seats and most venues don't have arms, because for me, at my biggest, I used to have to strategically think about, could my bum get in that seat? And actually, I was really precious about, I don't want chairs with arms. So, you know, just knowing that if you wanted to ask a question to a consultant, pick up the phone, drop them a text. We've been asked 10 billion questions, haven't we? So, yeah, don't be worried, and ask for a mugshot if you fancy it, you know.
So the other thing I think that kind of is coming out of this is about like this this idea about choice power, which I suppose, you know, you can apply to a food but also to a mindset. you know, are you choosing to do something about this? And no matter what, you're going to take that step forwards for all that encompasses. And I think, using that as like kind of way of empowering you, a bit like what you were saying, Harriet, you know, like you can choose to eat healthy, or you can choose to stay where you are, or maybe go down an even worse path by continuing to kind of be in denial. And yeah, I think just kind of laying down what your choices are. And often I think that when we're in that situation where we're in that self-loathing, that kind of shame or guilt pattern, particularly as someone that, you know, as who rejoins some world again and again and again, I felt like the guilt and the self-loathing kind of went up a notch each time, until I kind of really thought, well, you know, I just need to kind of really look. I have got more choices than I thought, because sometimes you do feel like you're in a box and you're trapped, and if I do this and this will happen, like you don't have anything to kind of move forwards for. But the very simple choices of like, you know, well, when everything's going wrong and I don't know, things are tough, you can still choose to what food you put in your mouth, I suppose. You can choose that you are going to go to group no matter what the scales say.
How choose do you to feel better,
right? Yeah. How do you break down your choices, Harriet,
into as smaller choices as I possibly can? Because let's face it, we're all human beings, and we are all at some point going to make choices that probably are going to send us off plan. And that's okay too. And it's about accepting, do you know what? Sometimes I am going to go off plan, and that's okay, because it's going to be okay if I can then decide, right, what can I do to go back on plan? And it's, I have stood in shops. I remember 2 years ago standing in Aldi with a bar of peanut brittle in my hand and literally doing my visualizations and almost like with an angel and a devil on my shoulder going, you've got a huge bar of white chocolate Toblerone at home. You do not need this peanut brittle. And the other one going, oh, but it's lovely. Until a shop assistant came up to me and said, are you okay? Can I help you? And I'm like, well, it's fine. I'm just doing my visualizations and just talking myself through it. And I think it's like teaching yourself that process. And it is hard at first because it does take that time. But now it's much faster for me because I've done it every single day. And it's always, I think, what are the smallest choices that I can make? Because they're the easy ones. And small choices will snowball into the bigger picture, if you like, and into making that sort of big change without you almost noticing it. Because you're doing those small little choices all of the time, using whatever strategies, whatever motivation you can, and really going, I'm doing this for myself. It doesn't matter if a shop assistant comes up to me. It doesn't matter if somebody looks at me a little bit askance thinking, what are they doing? You know, it's all about choosing positivity for yourself and breaking it down into those mini, mini targets. And when you don't make the right choice, it's about letting go of that guilt and that self-loathing, because that's what's going to really, really hold you back. And that, for me, has been the most difficult thing to do, because it is changing those ingrained habits that you've learned and you've been told all of your life. And changing that is the really, really difficult part. And that is a process. And you have to be kind to yourself. And you have to realize this is going to take time. This isn't something that I can change overnight. But what I can change is that small choice to have a curly whirly instead of a double Mars bar. Just little choices that will snowball.
Do you know what a psychologist said to me once? I had a nervous breakdown. I was 21. She said, when you're choosing to do something, the first things you choose to do, choose the ones you know you can be successful at. So, you know, I can brush my teeth, you know, I can swap the curly whirly, because with success, it breeds more success. And as people who have gained weight and had a lot of weight to lose, what we do is we say to ourselves, we're not successful, we're failures, and we don't believe we can have the success. So you almost have to build the blocks of success to get to the bigger point. So I always say to my members, you know, the struggling ones, what can you commit to do 100% this week? Just one thing. Is it measure your milk? Is it have your weighed up brown flakes for breakfast? Because then you'll feel like you've succeeded, not failed at 100 things. So I like the way you take it to the minutia, because for our minds and our subconscious, that is key, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always, every week, I always give myself a pat on the back for a non-scale victory. What have I done this week that has taken a little bit of courage, that's put me outside of my comfort zone? And I think okay, maybe if I didn't get the result I wanted on the scales this week, but what have I done this week that's been a big change for me? That's, you know, did I decide to go out and do some body magic when I really didn't want to? Did I decide to go and look at a new recipe or something like that? And it is just rewarding yourself for those behavior changes as well and saying, I did this, which I couldn't do before. And it's giving yourself that pat on the back and rewarding yourself so you're not too focused on the numbers as well.
Well, yeah, and also I suppose having things to look forward to. You know, I think I've been too guilty previously of like making life a bit of a to-do list of I must do this and I should do this. And if I don't do that, then I failed. And if I've got all these crazy lists that get longer and longer and longer, and you think, where's the fun in that? Like, what am I actually really getting excited about and looking forward to? Whether it be a meal that you haven't cooked for ages, or if you do want to, you know, enjoy your sins, having, you know, an ice cream or a piece of cake with your friends at that favourite coffee shop, then planning that in rather than just thinking, you know, right, have I had my healthy HTA? No, I haven't. I must get that in somehow. Right, have I got enough speed? No, I haven't. I must get that in. I think it's allowing that kind of like the 360 kind of holistic approach of like, this does not have to be like a food diary and, you know, you need to get the calculator out every day. It's actually meant to be like a joyful process.
Not meant to hate every second. Can we talk to you about food, Harriet, though? Because to lose 20 stone, right, you've got to embrace some serious changes, but you've also got to love what you're eating. Because I'm thinking, you know, I struggled with the best part of 4.5 stone to keep that momentum and excitement up. Talk to us about your food changes. Do you cook when you didn't before? Like,
oh gosh, yeah, I do a new recipe every single week still. So this week I'm doing Middle East braised beef from I think it's from the Free For All cookbook. And so every week I try to keep it interesting and a little bit different. And especially if you feel like you're getting stuck in a rut and you're going, oh, chicken salad again. It's like, get on the app, look at the recipes. What is it that put chicken in the recipes in search, and it'll bring up loads of different things for you. And it has really been rediscovering that joy of cooking, because I just used to binge on ultra processed foods, ready meals, or I used to just eat huge bowls of cereals, takeaways. And now I really love cooking. I love the different flavors. And it's also, because I moved back home, it was for my health, really, but also because my mother is elderly and suffers with osteoporosis. And so I look after her. It's become sort of like a little synergy of sort of really looking after each other again. And going into the kitchen, sort of saying, okay, you chop this, well, I'll do this. And sort of just putting the radio on and listening to a bit of music as we're cooking together, has been really, really lovely. And it's created some really quality time. So it's not just about the food we're eating, it's the memories that you're creating along the way as well. And that makes it even that bit much, much more special. It's like, well, I don't want to get a thing out of the fridge and just go prick, prick, prick and in the microwave. You know, I actually do want to spend this time cooking, because I've discovered that I do love that kind of sort of Moroccan flavors and all of those kind of things. So that's been an absolute revelation. And if I can put pomegranate and coriander on it, I'll be a happy bunny.
Really? So have you food optimized your mum? Is she there like losing weight without knowing it?
Yeah, she's lost just over 2.5 stone now.
Oh, amazing.
Bless her. Oh. And she's tiny anyway. She says she's 5 foot. She's not. She's 4'11". Oh, but she looks after herself for breakfast and lunch, but main meal I cook together. So, and we go through the books together as well and the magazines and say, what would you really fancy this week? And it's nice, because then she feels that it's not me saying, eat this. It's, she's got a bit of ownership of it as well, which is really lovely too.
What a lovely thing to do.
Wow. And body magic as well. This is something that you're kind of like looking over at the moment.
Yeah, body magic. If you'd asked me 3 years ago, I would have laughed in your face. It's probably the one thing that would have made me laugh. I mean, somewhat negatively. But if you'd said to me, by the way, Harriet, in 3 years' time, you'll have done the race, the 5K race for life, I would have just laughed at you. Because going from not being able to really move at all to doing that 5K race, which I did on Saturday, actually, was just amazing. My consultant was there. We did it as a little Slimming World team. And she's brilliant. She's incredible at body magic. You know, shout out to Raina. And she was there at the finish line for me. And she videoed me coming, sort of huffing and puffing over the line. Great big red cheeks, no lipstick. And she was like, oh, she had tears in her eyes because she knew the journey I'd gone from. And I, again, it's that kind of breaking it down again. I've always in my head got the mantra, always a little further. So when I started, I literally started standing up and sitting down from a chair. Online, they called it supported squats. I was standing up and sitting down from a chair because when you weigh well over 33 stone, the weight that you're lifting, that is a real challenge for you. And it's about that's finding that starting point that works for you. Because my starting point was a very low level, but that was a challenge for me. And that's absolutely fine. And that's absolutely okay. And every time I built it up, so I went from standing up to walking up and down the garden, to walking around the block, to walking around two blocks. So every week it was that mantra of always a little further and just keep adding it in until, yeah, did my 5K on Saturday.
Oh, we need to see like pictures with your medal and oh, just that's incredible. And what a way to like kind of, I mean, like what difference has like winning Greatest Loser made to your life? Not just Greatest Loser in your group, but Greatest Loser for Slimming World.
Nationally.
Oh, it's incredible, actually, because for me, it almost, when I said, oh, yeah, I've lost 20 stone, that's become normal in my head. And you sort of see other people's reaction and go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that is quite a lot of weight to lose. And you sort of, it reminds you a little bit. But for me, it's all about paying it forward. And if I can get that message out there to that one person who was me 3 years ago, sitting there feeling hopeless, feeling totally alone, feeling totally ostracized from society, feeling that there's nothing I can do, that would for me be job done. That one person I can say, come on, come with us, come with us, come on, start your journey. It doesn't matter if you're almost got 20 stone to lose or 2 stone to lose. If you're overweight and you're unhappy with that, you are in a bad place. And it's just hopefully inspiring people to start that journey or restart that journey and go, there is hope. There is it, and it works. That's the other thing to say is the plan works. If you embrace it and really move forward with it, there is light at the end of that tunnel.
That's a key word though, embrace. Like, and it is a really hard thing to embrace change sometimes, isn't it? Like, you seem to me like a very passionate person. So you like, you've embarked on something new and you're excited about it, but embracing the bumps is really hard. Like, it's great when it's going well, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, I've got this in the bag, I'm losing it. And then you hit, like, I just hit brick walls all the time. That's hard to overcome.
That is massively hard to overcome. And there was one point when I was really, really struggling. And my consultant then, Michelle, I remember her saying to me, just relax. We just need you to be okay with what you're doing. I got so uptight and so stressed, and every half pound on was like the end of the world. And I was just going, what am I doing wrong? I've got to be doing something wrong. And it was just about taking that breath and taking that step back and reflecting on that journey and saying, okay, what is it that I'm perhaps doing that's not quite right? What do I need to change? And it's always knowing that ultimately you're going to be moving forward, even when it feels like you're going backwards. You've still got that goal in sight and you're going, I'm still looking towards that goal. I've turned myself around for 180 degrees from banging my head against a brick wall to looking the other way. And sometimes I will be going backwards. And it's just reflecting on that. I think Margaret once said about you find that whole process fascinating. And that is so important. You go, okay, what is it that I'm doing that is a block for me? And finding that fascinating. And once you identify those blocks, you can put those strategies in place. So I no longer go into a petrol station. I always do pay at the pump, because a certain chocolate bar that used to be advertised that wasn't for girls would fall into my handbag.
And two for £1.20, yeah.
Yep. You know, I wasn't shoplifting, but that would fall in. And as an ex-smoker as well, I'd get to the counter. Not only would I have my chocolate bars and my peanuts, I'd suddenly find myself saying, oh, and 20 Marlboro Light too.
Yeah.
So it's recognising that. So I pay at the pump. And it's, again, it's one of those small changes that you can do. And it's just about reflecting on that and going, this is fascinating. Why do I have to pick that up? I've managed a lot of other things. And so it is finding out your sort of weak spots and not beating yourself up about it, but saying, actually, what is it that I'm doing and how am I going to overcome it? And it can be something really simple like paying at the pump.
Wow. I mean, it's been amazing to, you know, to speak with you, Harriet. I mean, I'd love to know really, what are your family saying to you at the moment? Particularly your mom and your sister.
Oh, they're my absolute cheerleaders. My mum's got, since I won Greatest Loser, she's got like a little scrapbook of like all the little bits that have been around. And my sister is, she's my absolute rock. She's just incredible. And, you know, she was the one that really paved the way for me, and she still does. She's, we're both a bit emotional. So I remember at the Greatest Loser lunch when they said to my sister, oh, would you like to add anything? And she was just crying and going, no, I can't. So she's absolutely brilliant. It is really, really fantastic. And just the level of support and love that I've had from my friends, because everybody says it's like they've got me back. It's like almost Harriet went away for a number of years. And all of a sudden they're like, you smile and the smile reaches your eyes. It's not just a painted on smile. And you want to do things and you want to come out. And of course, I always wanted to do that, even when I was at my largest. It's just emotionally and physically, I couldn't do it. So I am so super proud of all my friends and so super grateful, you know, the tears they've mopped up, the love that they've given and the sheer support. Because sometimes it's not saying anything. It's just being there and saying, putting your arm around somebody. And I'm a bit of a geek and saying, oh, do you want to watch a David Tennant episode of Doctor Who? yes, I do. Yes. You know, so nobody's volunteered to watch the extended version of Lord of the Rings with me yet, though. I think that's quite a commitment.
That's good. I fell asleep in the Lord of the Rings at the cinema within about 4 minutes. So I'm not your woman. Sorry.
Honestly, it's just, you know, it's brilliant. It's just great to see that you are truly living life, you know, to hear how tough things were for you. And, you know, that yes, you had to support your family, but ultimately you chose to make a different life for yourself. And you knew that that wasn't what you wanted. So, I mean, we're really proud of you. I know that people listening will be absolutely, you know, it really puts things in perspective, Harriet, about, you know, where life can be, and we just got to go for it. I think your opening words of just go for it were spot on. Anything to add, Anna?
Do you know what? I'm just thinking your members are so lucky to have you, because I bet they walk in and you're just so infectious. Like, do you know, it's Monday morning. I'm a little bit frayed around the edges. And, you know, there is all reason to go and eat the crisps that are in my cupboard downstairs. But I'm not going to do that now we've spoken to you, because I'm going to make a choice for a banana. And I don't know that that would have happened if I hadn't have spoken to you. So I think I love your positivity. And I just love that you want to share that, because it's key, because if there aren't people like you around to for people to look at and say, I can do this, then we don't have much hope, do we? So thank you. You're brilliant.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
And ironically, seeing as you were talking, Harry, about spices and, you know, great Moroccan kind of vibe foods, next week on our bonus members only podcast, we are actually talking about store cupboard staples. So we will be getting into spices. We will be going undercover in a low-cost supermarket to find out what spices are on their shelves. I don't know why I went like all daytime TV, but felt like it needed it. Hannah's just doing jazz hands,
isn't it? Store cupboard staples, store cupboard. No.
Like, yeah. And this is where the wheels fall off and we have to end this podcast. It's been great. Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you.
And speak to you all next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.